In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know, when we come face to face with God, and we come into his presence, we can't do anything else other than cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know, this morning as we come, we come like Isaiah there. You know, whenever we get close to God, you know, we realize our inadequacies. We realize our failings, our faults. Our sin is highlighted. And like Isaiah, we say, Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Did you know God, in his mercy, he takes a live coal from the altar. You know, and he touches our lips, he touches our life. He purges our sin, he cleanses our iniquity. You know, we've got so much to thank God for this morning. You know, we may feel this morning that we are burdened and loaded down with guilt and sin and shame and, you know, all manner of things that we've picked up from the world. You know, this morning we can be free. All we need to do is come to the Lord this morning. You know, repent of our sin. Ask him to cleanse us. You know, John writes in his epistle, he says this. He says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we often use that as a gospel text to preach the gospel to the unsaved. But you know, John was writing those words to the church of Jesus Christ, to brethren like you and me. And he says that if we sin, if we committed sin, you know, if we've fallen, if we've gone astray, we can come to him. We can repent. We can confess our sin. You know, there's a great promise there, and I love this promise. It says, and he is faithful and just. You know, God is faithful this morning. You know, we're going to come, we're going to partake this morning. We're going to share together in this Lord's Supper, this bread and this cup. But know this this morning, before we take it, before we share together, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And to leave a little bit there. Yes? No. To cleanse us from most of our sins. Just a few of them. All of them. Amen.
Amen.
To cleanse us from all of our sins. Do you know what that means? To wipe the slate clean. You know, I mean, some of the men will know this, the ladies will know better. But when you wash the dishes, or you wash the clothes. If you take a plate out of the water and out of the soap, and you see it's still got a little bit of the dinner on it, you don't just put it in to drain and to dry and pack it away. You wash it again. You don't need to do it with the clothes. You put your whites in the wash and you bring them out, and there's still a little grass stain from your son's football, or there's a little bit of mud left on the clothes because it hasn't got it completely clean. You wash it again. But you know, God isn't like that. He doesn't leave us with a stain. He doesn't leave us with unforgiven sin. So He cleanses us from all sin. Amen. You know, that's a little word, but it encompasses so much, doesn't it? A-L-L. Small word, but so big in its meaning. All. Everything. So we're going to come this morning. We're just going to spend a few minutes. Let's just pray together before the brethren come. And Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We praise You this morning for this opportunity we have just to come before You. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the bread and the cup. Thank You, Lord, for what they represent. Father, we thank You, Lord, that, Lord, this blood, this bread speaks of Your broken body, Father. Lord, the body of Jesus broken for us at Calvary. Lord, and the blood, this cup reminds us of Your precious blood that was shed, that was poured out. Lord, on behalf of the sins of the world. Lord, so that we could have forgiveness. Lord, so that we could know the remission of our sins. Lord, so that we, Lord, like Isaiah of old, could know, Lord, what it is to have our sins purged and cleansed. Father, we just want to thank You for Jesus. Thank You for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus, we thank You that You came. Thank You, Lord, that You died for us. Thank You, Lord, that You paid the price. Lord, You took, Lord, in Your own body our sins. Lord, You bore them to Calvary. Holy Spirit, we thank You, Lord, for, Lord, the work that You do in our lives day by day, Lord, effecting, Lord, that new covenant. Lord, we just want to thank You this morning. We just want to praise You. Lord, as we share together, just bless us, Lord. Lord, as we honor, Lord, this table. Lord, as we honor Your name this morning. Honor that sacrifice. Father, we just thank You. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let the brethren come up. Ask to give me emblems.
And don't you just love it when the Holy Ghost puts everything together?
Amen.
And He knows what He's doing. You know, He speaks to one and speaks to another and somebody else, and when we all come together and play our part, it flows. And it flows because of Him. Well, I want to share this morning a little bit what I call the divine exchange. You know, yes, we have the scripture on the screen. If we go to Leviticus chapter 16, verse 20 to 22, we'll just read these verses. And it says, when He has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, He shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and He shall release the goat in the wilderness. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Yes. Yes, thank You, Jesus. Father, just thank You. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. In this reading from Leviticus 16, we read that an exchange was being made. The sins and the transgressions that the people had committed over the previous year were symbolically laid upon this goat that we read about here in verses 20 to 22. And this goat was led out into the wilderness and released to die. We get the term, this was known as the scapegoat. And you know how we use that? We make someone a scapegoat for something. In other words, all of the blame and responsibility is put upon that person. You know, and this exchange was made. The sins, the transgressions, you know, through the laying on of the hands of the priest Aaron. They were transferred to this goat. And then this goat was sent off into the wilderness to die. And after Aaron had released or they'd let this animal go, Aaron was allowed. And I say he was allowed because this was a once a year thing. Aaron, or the high priest, whoever it was at the time, was allowed to enter into that holy of holies, that most holy place. But he couldn't go into that holy place unless he was bearing blood. The blood of the sacrifice. And as he went into that holy place, if the blood sacrifice was accepted, then the sins of the people were atoned for that year. Now we don't really celebrate it in the Christian church, but the Jewish people have just celebrated the Day of Atonement last weekend. This weekend they're celebrating in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, but on that day, that special day, that Day of Atonement, it was a day where sins were purged. Sins were atoned for. Sins were covered. You know, in this exchange with this goat, this scapegoat, and the bearing of blood. Now, I don't know whether this is right or not. But I did hear tradition, or wherever it came from, that when the high priest went into the holy place, he was girdled with some type of rope. Because if the blood sacrifice wasn't accepted, then somebody had to get him out and nobody could go into that holy place. So they would pull him out. And if the blood was accepted, then he came out and they knew their sins were dealt with and covered. But I've said all that this morning to come to this point. You know, Jesus became our scapegoat. He became the Lamb. Our sin, as we've just remembered, was placed on Him. But this was not symbolical. You know, Jesus took in His own body our sins. He took on Himself our actual sin. The sins that we, as a race, had committed. As individuals, would commit. And He bore it in His own body. You know, the scripture says this in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Look what a scripture. You know, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. You know, Jesus entered into the most holy place himself. You know, Hebrews tells us this, and I've been reading through the book of Hebrews, and I know at the same time as I've been reading through the book of Hebrews, Pastor's been doing the study on a Wednesday night in the book of Hebrews, and I'm finding this very exciting. Because it says here in Hebrews 9, it's verse 12, listen to these words, talking about Jesus, says that not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You know, he took his own blood into the holy place. You know, the high priest had to take the blood of an animal, had to take the blood of a goat or a bull. But Jesus bore his own blood into the holy place, or the most holy place, to give it its correct designation. He entered into heaven itself with his blood. And thank God that blood was accepted. Amen. Hello? I thought you'd gone to sleep. The blood was accepted. The blood was accepted by the Father. Do you know what that means? That means our sins were dealt with. Amen. You know, this Day of Atonement, it was repeated annually. It was repeated every year. You know, the Jesus sacrifice was a once-for-all sacrifice. You know, Jesus doesn't have to re-enter into the holy place bearing his blood. He doesn't have to go to the cross anymore. The sacrifice was a once-for-all sacrifice. And the scripture says there in Hebrews, he obtained eternal redemption. That same passage of scripture, that same chapter in Hebrews tells us this in verse 22. It says that according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. We see it right on the very first pages of the Bible. Blood had to be spilt to cover sin. You know, man has been trying to cover their sin ever since the Garden of Eden. You just listen to people today trying to cover their sin when they do something wrong. And it begins at a very young age. Mum, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. It was my sister, my brother. It was him. It was her. Trying to cover their sin. Trying to shift the responsibility onto somebody or something else. Rather than just saying, Lord, it was me. Forgive me. And blood had to be spilled in the Garden of Eden. An animal had to be slain so that God could cover the sins. Blood had to be spilled so that we could be cleansed. I said a few minutes ago, I want to talk about the divine exchange. That was one exchange on the Day of Atonement, where the sin was placed upon the goat, and the goat was led off into the wilderness. But as we know, and we just remember this, we were shared in the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus became our lamb. He was our sacrifice. He was the sacrifice for our sin. And if you can give me a 2 Corinthians, please, Joe. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You know, this is a beautiful verse. Listen to these words. This is another exchange that was made. I used to have a friend. He's with the Lord now. He was a car dealer. He was one of the deacons of our church many years ago. And I remember him on a similar style of message as to what I'm sharing today. He stood up and said, because as a car dealer, he knew what it was to get a good deal. Now, you know car dealers, you know, you never see a poor car dealer. A car dealer's always got some money. Why? Because he knows how to make money. He knows how to charge. You know, and then this brother, he said, I know a good deal when I see one. And he was good at getting deals. He used to go to the car auctions and, you know, pay bottom price and then sell the car at top price. You know the type of deal he's talking about there. But he said this once, and he said, I think that's a good deal. He says, but then when I look at what Jesus did for me on the cross, he says, that's a good deal. That's a good exchange. Because look at what it says here. It says in 1 Corinthians, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a deal. What an exchange. God made Jesus to be sin for us. Just listen to those words again. God made Jesus to be sin for us. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you this, but Jesus was without sin. He was sinless. He knew no sin. As we heard the other day, yes, he was tempted. He was tempted at all points like we, the scripture says, yet without sin. What a man he was. Yes, he was a man, and he lived without sin. Now, don't tell me it was because he was the Son of God. No, 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 no. Do you know if Jesus lived a life on earth as the Son of God, and he did it without sin, do you know what that means? There isn't any hope for you or me. But Jesus did it as a man. Hallelujah. He conquered the devil as a man. Do you know what that means? That gives us hope. That means we can do it too. Yet this sinless man, this one without sin, this one who never sinned, this one who knew no sin, God laid on him all the sin of the world. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Isaiah portrays it like this. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, talking about Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You know, the same prophet in chapter 52 puts it like this, that, you know, his visage was marred more than any other. I preached a message once, maybe one day if the Lord allows me I'll preach it again, but called the incomparable Christ. You know, there's nothing in Jesus that was beautiful. Do you know that? Not when he was on the cross. You see the pictures of him. You see the You know, some groups, and you see them around in the shops around Malta here. You see the pictures of Christ on the cross. You know, they portray him, and he looks so mild on the cross. But that's a false image. When Jesus was on the cross, there was nothing beautiful, nothing that we should desire him. There was nothing in him that would cause us to desire him and fall in love with him. Yet what he did was beautiful.
Amen.
Jesus, who did not have a sinful nature, was made to be sin for us. His body was twisted and gnarled because of that sin. And God made Jesus to be sin for you and me. Remember that. It was your sin, my sin, that the Lord laid on him. But this verse goes on to say something else. An exchange was made here. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, we were sinners. We were born in sin. We were born with the nature to sin. But Jesus died for us. His blood paid the price so that we can be righteous. I've already quoted the scripture from Peter. It says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We who were not righteous were made to be the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He took on our sinful nature so that we could take on his righteous nature. Did you know that? We became righteous when he became sin. That's the divine exchange. It's got nothing to do with us. It's got nothing to do with our social status. It's got nothing to do with our works. Nothing to do with what we've been able to earn. It's all by the grace of God. But that's not just my words. That's not just the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. You know, God declares us righteous. Did you know that?
Yes.
God said that we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Let me just give you three scriptures here, from the book of Romans. Romans 3, 21 and 22 says this. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Do you hear that? The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. Have you believed in Jesus? Well then, God declares you righteous. Romans 4:5 says this, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. God declares us righteous. Then in the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous.
Amen.
God declares us righteous. Now I want you to promise me something from today. Because you hear this, and I hear this, and I hear it, well-intentioned people say this. And they say it because they're trying to be humble before God. But it's not what the scripture teaches. You'll hear them say something like this, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Yes, we were sinners. We were saved by grace. But don't ever say to yourself or call yourself a sinner. Because you're not a sinner. You've been made righteous. You've been declared. You've been justified. You were a sinner. Yes, that's where you came from. But now you're a son of God. A daughter of a living God. A child of the King. Your status is that of a son. You've been adopted into the family. Yes, once I was a sinner. Now, I'm a son of Jesus Christ. A son of God. Not the son, but a son. A child. You know, we've been declared righteous. We've been justified. Paul puts it like this in Corinthians, just a few verses earlier from our text scripture. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. You know, don't you get excited to know that you're not just patched up. You've not just been repaired. You're a new creation. His workmanship. Don't you like that, what Paul says in Ephesians? He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. His workmanship. You know what that word workmanship there means? It means you are God's masterpiece. His handiwork. You've been recreated. Made and declared by God to be the righteousness of God through the death of Jesus. Ah, what an exchange. You know, this morning, just get that image. I'm going to conclude with this thought. Just get that image that you're no longer a sinner. You've been declared righteous. A divine exchange was made at the cross. Jesus became sin. He took your sin. And in that exchange, you know what it is when you give an exchange? You give something. Your work contract, your work covenant that you have, if you work for an employer. Now, your employer says he will pay you for work that you do. And there are other benefits and other things that may be included in that. But in exchange, you give him your time, you give him your service. And you honor your part of the contract, your employer will honor his part of the contract. An exchange is made. You say, yes, I will work for you. And he said, I will pay you. An exchange was made. You give me your sin. I will give you my righteousness. I take your sin. Actually, he took it. And he gave us his righteousness. A divine exchange. Now we're not talking about a goat going off into the wilderness. This is done. This is, as my friend used to say, a done deal. A done deal. He's made the deal and you've been done. That's what he was talking about. But it's like that with God. You know? It's a done deal. Well, we haven't been done. We've been blessed. Amen. The deal was made. The exchange was made. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we're not sinners. We're sons. Yes, we sin. We make mistakes. But we're still sons. We're sons that sin, unfortunately.
Don't think the daughter.
But we know how to be forgiven. As we said earlier on, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen.
Let's give a hand to the Lord.